Welcome to the first programme in the series called Bookworms, broadcast by Near FM on 90.3 FM and online on www.near.ie. My name is Declan Cahill, and I'll be presenting six programmes involving young people reading from a children's novel. The objectives of the series are to encourage primary school children to read more, to improve their literacy skills, and to develop a love of books. To help me in the process, I'm delighted to have the assistance of the pupils of one of the sixth classes of St. David's Boys National School. The school is located on the Kilmore Road, R10, Dublin 5, and was established in 1968. I hope that other schools in the area will listen into the broadcasts, thus encouraging other school children to read more. And the plan is to have a number of boys from Miss Cahill's class to read every week from the novel Gangster Granny by David Walliams, and then afterwards have a short discussion on the book. Now, we're currently recording this programme in the school library, surrounded by an amazing and most splendid array of books. It's an oasis of calm in the midst of a busy and bustling school. So, I'm delighted to welcome five boys: David Ducey, Lee Deegan, Dylan Rice, Sean MacDonald and John Scarfe. So, let's start the first section of the book, and we're going to listen to David. Right, David.
Chapter 1, Cabbage Water. But Granny is so boring, said Ben. It was a cold Friday evening in November, and as usual, he was slumped in the back of his mum and dad's car. Once again, he was on his way to stay the night at his dreaded granny's house. All old people are. Don't talk to your granny like that, said Dad weakly, his fat stomach pushed up against the steering wheel of the family's little brown car. I hate spending time with her, protested Ben. Her TV doesn't work and all she wants to do is play Scrabble and stinks of cabbage. In fairness to the boy, she does stink of cabbage, agreed Mum, as she applied some last-minute lip liner. You're not helping, wife, muttered Dad. At worst, my mother has a very slight odour of boiled vegetables. Can't I come with you? Pleaded Ben. I love ballroom what's-it dancing, he lied. It's called ballroom dancing, corrected Dad. And you don't love it, you said, and I quote, I would rather eat my own bogies than watch that rubbish. Now, Ben's mum and dad love ballroom dancing. Sometimes Ben thought they loved it more than they loved him. There was a TV show on Saturday evenings that Mum and Dad never missed called Strictly Stairs Dancing, where celebrities would be paired with professional ballroom dancers. In fact, if there was a fire in the house and Mum could only save either a sparkly gold tap shoe once worn by Flavio Flavioli, the shiny tan dancer and heartbreaker from Italy who appeared on every series of the hit TV show, or her only child, Ben, thought she would probably go for the shoe. Tonight his mum and dad were going to the arena to see Strictly Stairs Dancing live on stage. I don't know why you don't give up on this pipe dream of becoming a plumber, Ben, and think about professional dancing professionally, said Mum, her lip liner scrawling across her cheek as the car bounced over a particularly bumpy speed bump. Mum had a bit of a habit of applying makeup in the car, which meant she often arrived somewhere looking like a clown. Maybe, just maybe, you could end up like on Strictly, added Mum excitedly.
Right, thanks very much, David, that was fine. Now the next boy to read is Lee. Right, away you go, Lee.
Because prancing around like that is stupid, said Ben. Mum whimpered a little and reached for a tissue. You're upsetting your mother. Now just be quiet, please, Ben. There's a good boy, replied Dad firmly, as he turned up the volume on the stereo. Inevitably, a Strictly CD was playing. 50 golden greats from the hit TV show was emblazoned on the cover. Ben hated the CD, not least because he had heard it a million times. In fact, he had heard it so many times it was like torture. Ben's mum worked at the local nail salon, Gail's Nails. Because there weren't many customers, Mum and the other lady who worked there, unsurprisingly called Gail, spent most days doing each other's nails, buffing, cleaning, trimming, moisturising, coating, sealing, polishing, filling, lacquering, extending, and painting. They were doing things to each other's nails all day long, unless Flabio Flavioli was on daytime TV. That meant Mum would always come home to with extremely long, multicoloured plastic extensions on the end of her fingers. Ben's dad, meanwhile, worked as a security guard at the local supermarket. The highlight of his 20-year career thus far was stopping an old man who had concealed two tubs of margarine down his trousers. Although Dad was now too fat to run after any robbers, he could certainly block their escape. Dad met Mum when he wrongly accused her of shoplifting a bag of crisps, and within a year they were married. The car swung around the corner into Grey Close, where Granny's bungalow squattered. It was one of a whole row of sad little homes, mainly inhabited by old people. The car came to a halt, Ben slowly turned his head towards the bungalow, looking expectantly out of the living room window. Was Granny waiting. She was always waiting by the window for him to arrive. How long has she been there, thought Ben, since last week?
Ben was her only grandchild, and as far as he knew, no one else ever came to visit. Granny waved and gave Ben a little smile, with his grumpy face just about permitted him to reluctantly return. "Right, one of us will pick you up tomorrow morning at around 11, said Dad, keeping the engine running. "Can't you make it 10? "Ben," growled Dad. He released the child lock and Ben grudgingly pushed the door open and stepped out. Ben didn't need the child lock. Of course, he was 11 years old and hardly liked to open the door while the car was driving. He suspected his dad only used it to stop him from diving out of the car when they were on their way to Granny's house. Clunk went the door behind him as the engine revved up again. Before he could ring the bell, Granny opened the door. A huge gust of cabbage blasted in Ben's face. It was like a great big slap of smell. She was very much her textbook Granny. Thick glasses, false teeth, hairy chin, mauve cardigan, used tissue tucked up sleeve, a packet of Merry Mints close by, tan tight, white hair, hearing aids, smell of cabbage, floral print dress, burgundy slippers. "Are Mummy and Daddy not coming in?" she asked, a little crestfallen. This was one of the things Ben couldn't stand about her. She was always talking to him like he was a baby. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Together, Granny and Ben watched the little brown car race off, leaping over the speed bumps. Mum and Dad didn't like spending time with her any more than Ben did. It was just a convenient place to dump Ben on Friday night. "Sorry, Granny," spluttered Ben. "Oh, well, come in then," she muttered. "Now I've set up the Scrabble board, and for your tea I've got your favourite cabbage soup." Ben's face dropped even further. "No," he thought.
Thanks, Dylan. That was very, very good. Now we're going to move on to chapter 2, entitled A Duck Quacking, and we're going to have Sean reading that section. Now, Sean.
Before long, Granny and Grandson were sitting opposite each other in deadly silence at the dining room table, just like every single Friday night. When his parents weren't watching strictly on TV, they were eating curry or going to the movies. Friday night was their date night, and ever since Ben could remember, they had been dropping him off at his granny's when they went out. If they weren't going to see Strictly Stars live on stage, they would normally go to the Taj Mahal the Kareem house on the high street, not the ancient white marble mummy in India, and ate their own body weight in poppadoms. All that could be heard in the bungalow was the ticking of the carriage clock on the mantelpiece, the clicking of the metal spoons against porcelain bolts, an occasional high-pitched whistle of Granny's hearing aid. It was a device whose purpose was seemed to be not so much aid Granny's defence, but to cause deafness in others. It was one of the main things Ben hated about his granny. The others were, number one, Granny would always spit in the used tissue she kept up the sleeve of her cardigan and wipe her grandson's face with it. Number two, her TV had been broken since 1992 and now it was covered in dust so thick it was like fur. Number three, her house was stuffed full of books and she always was trying to get Ben to read them even though he loathed reading. Number four, Granny insisted you wore a heavy winter coat all year round, even on a boiling hot day, otherwise you wouldn't feel the benefit. Number five, she reeked of cabbage. Anyone with a cabbage allergy would not be able to come within 10 miles of her. Number six, Granny's idea of an exciting day out was feeding mouldy crusts of bread to some ducks in a pond.
Thanks very much, Sean. That was grand. Now, our final speaker today is John. Okay, John, away we go.
Number seven, she constantly blew off without even acknowledging it. Those blasts didn't just smell of cabbage, they smelled of rotten cabbage. Number nine, Granny made you go to bed so early it seemed hardly worthwhile getting up in the first place. Number 10. She knitted her only grandson's jumpers for Christmas with puppies or kittens on them, which he was forced to wear during the whole festive period by his parents. "How's your soup?" inquired the old lady. Ben had just been stirring the pale green liquids around the chipped bowl for the last 10 minutes, hoping it would somehow disappear. It wouldn't. And now it's getting cold. Cold bits of cabbage floating around in some cold cabbage water. It's delicious, thank you, replied Ben. Good. Tick tock, tick tock. Good, said the old granny again. Clink, clink. Good. Granny seemed to find it as hard to speak to Ben as he did to her. Clink, clank, whistle. How's school? She asked. Boring, muttered Ben. Adults always ask kids how they are doing at school. The one subject kids absolutely hate talking about. You don't even want to talk about school when you're at school. Oh, said Granny. Tick tock, clink, clink, whistle, tick tock. Well, I must check on the oven, said Granny, after the long pause stretched out into an even longer pause. I've got you your favourite cabbage pie on the go.
I'm going to pick up the story now where John left off. She rose slowly from her seat and made her way to the kitchen. As she took each step, a little bubble of wind puffed out of her saggy bottom. It sounded like a duck quacking. Either she didn't realise, or was extremely good at pretending she didn't realise. Ben watched her go, and then crept silently across the room. This was difficult because the piles of books everywhere. Ben's granny loved books, and always seemed to have her nose in one. They were stacked on shelves, lined up on windowsills, piled up in corners. Crime novels were her favourite. Books about gangsters, bank robbers, the mafia and the like. Ben wasn't sure what the difference between a gangster and a gangster was, but a gangster seemed much worse. Although Ben hated reading, he loved looking at all the covers of Granny's books. They had fast cars and guns and glamorous ladies luridly painted on them, and Ben found it hard to believe this boring old granny of his liked readings that looked so thrilling. Why was she obsessed with gangsters? Thought Ben. Gangsters don't live in bungalows. Gangsters don't play Scrabble. Gangsters probably don't smell of cabbage. Ben was a very slow reader, and the teachers at school made him feel stupid because he couldn't keep up. The headmistress had even put him down a year in the hope he would catch up on his reading. As a result, all his friends were in a different class, and he felt nearly as lonely at school as he did at home, with his parents who only cared about ballroom dancing. Eventually, after a hairy moment when he nearly knocked over a stack of real-life crime books, Ben made it to the pot plant on the corner. He quickly tipped the remainder of his soup into it. The plant looked as if it was already dying, and if it wasn't dead yet, Granny's cold cabbage soup was sure to kill it off. Suddenly, Ben heard Granny's bump squeaking again as she made her way into the dining room, so he sped back to the table. He sat there trying to look as innocent as possible, with his empty bowl in front of him and his spoon in hand. "I finished my soup, thank you, Granny. It was yummy." "Oh, that's good," said the old lady as she trundled down to the table, carrying a saucepan on a tray. "I've got plenty more here for you, boy." Smilingly, she served him up another bowl. Ben gulped in terror. Chapter 3, Plumbing Weekly. "I can't find Plumbing Weekly, Raj," said Ben. It was the next Friday, and the boy had been scouring the magazine shelves of the local newsagent shop. He couldn't find his favourite publication anywhere. The magazine was aimed at professional plumbers, and Ben was beguiled by pages and pages of pipes, taps, cisterns, ball cocks, boilers, tanks and drains. Plumbing Weekly was the only thing he enjoyed reading, mainly because it was crammed full of pictures and diagrams. Ever since he'd been old enough to hold things, Ben had loved plumbing. When other children were playing with ducks in the bath, Ben had asked his parents for bits of pipe and made complicated water channeling systems. If a tap broke in the house, he fixed it. If a toilet was blocked, Ben wasn't disgusted, he was ecstatic. Ben's parents didn't approve of him wanting to be a plumber, though. They wanted him to be rich and famous, and to their knowledge, there had never been a rich and famous plumber. Ben was as good with his hands as he was rubbish at reading, and he was absolutely fascinated when a plumber came around to fix a leak. He would watch in awe as a junior doctor might watch a great surgeon at work in an operating theatre. But he always felt like a disappointment to his mum and dad. They desperately wanted him to fulfil the ambition that they never managed, to become a professional ballroom dancer. Ben's mum and dad had discovered their love of ballroom dancing too late to become champions themselves, and to be honest, they seemed to prefer sitting on their bums watching it on TV to actually taking part. As such, Ben tried to keep his passion private. To avoid hurting his mum and dad's feelings, he stashed his copies of Plumbing Weekly under his bed. And he made an arrangement with Raj so that every week the newsagent would keep the plumbing magazine aside for him. Now, though, he couldn't find it anywhere. Ben had searched for the magazine behind Kerrang and Heat and even looked under The Lady. No, not an actual lady, I mean, the magazine called The Lady. All to no avail. Raj's store was madly messy, but people came from miles away to shop there, as he always brought a smile to their faces. Raj was halfway up a stepladder, putting up Christmas decorations. Well, when I say Christmas decorations, he was actually putting up a banner that read, "Happy Birthday," though he had tippexed out the word birthday and replaced it in scratchy biro with Christmas. Raj carefully stepped down off the ladder to watch Ben with his search. "Your Plumbing Weekly. Now, let me think. Have you looked beside the toffee bonbons?" said Raj. "Yes," replied Ben. "And it's not underneath all the colouring books?" "No." "And have you checked behind the penny chews?" "Yes." "This is very mysterious. I know I ordered one for you, young Ben." "Very mysterious." Raj was speaking extremely slowly, in the way people do when they are thinking. "I am so sorry, Ben. I know you love it, but I haven't got a clue where it is. But I do have a special offer on Cornettos." "It's November, Raj. It's freezing outside," said Ben. "Who would want to eat a Cornetto now?" "Everyone, when they hear my special offer. Wait until you hear this. Buy 23 Cornettos and get one free." Why on earth would I want to buy 24 cornettos? Said Ben with a laugh. Well, I don't know. Maybe you could eat 12 and put the other 12 in your pocket later. That's a lot of cornettos, Raj. Why are you so keen to get rid of them? Now, we've all the boys. We've got Lee, John, Dylan, David, Sean sitting around the table with me. And we're going to have a quick chat now about what we've heard today. We've heard you boys reading and I read a piece, okay? So, David, you're first up. Now, why do you like this book?
Because you think it's just a normal granny and then you find out that she's very different to other grannies.
All right, that's interesting, yeah. So you've read the story, obviously, so you know the background to it. So you're going to recommend people to listen in because there's a good parts to come. Can I go to John? This book was selected by your class, isn't that right? And why do you think the class voted for this book?
Because, we all thought it was funny and it's simple to read. And, we didn't think it was, going to be, actually, a granny robbing stuff.
Yeah.
So, that's why it's called Gangster Granny.
Very good, very good. So, in terms of special interests, Ben is very interested in plumbing. Have any of you special interests?
I have an interest in being a footballer or being a stop car racer because my dad, my uncle and my granddad was one when they were younger.
Okay, stock car racing, my goodness. And how about you, John?
My dad used to be a plumber and my uncle is a plumber now. So that's why my dad said that I might get into a plumbing one day.
So you'd be like Ben? So you have an immediate attraction to Ben. So have you helped your daddy do plumbing?
No, because he doesn't do it anymore. It's only my uncle that does it.
Oh, your uncle. But have you gone with him to do a job?
No. I've never gone with him.
So anybody else? How about you, Dylan? Have you any big interest? No? No? David?
Yeah. Well, my dad's a hotel man, so he helps hotels. And I've always wanted to be like him and do hotels.
And what do you mean by hotels? No?
By helping hotels out with the problems that they have there.
So, oh, really? So is he a bit like the lads on television who'll go into a place and he's an advisor?
Yeah. Oh, really? He has his own business with three other people. So.
Very good. So he advises on, say, colours and layouts and things like that?
Yeah, and all their profits and stuff. So.
Oh, very good. And would you be interested in something like that? Yeah. And have you ever gone with him?
No. He's actually gone today. He's gone down to Cork to a hotel.
Hotel to advise them. And how about you, Sean?
I know someone. Her name is Jordana, and she goes around the world helping people, and she's in Indonesia right now.
My goodness! So that's amazing. Cross sections of interest of people. So, in terms of your the way you would feel now, if you were in a situation where you were dropped off by your parents at somebody that you didn't particularly like, how would you deal with that? How would you cope with it? Do you think, David?
I try and make some conversation and try to get to like them, just a bit more.
Oh, that's right. And if they were older, you'd make a bigger effort, would you? Right. So we're talking about just following up about what would you do if you were in that situation?
Well, I wouldn't really put in. I'd just put a happy face instead of putting a moany face.
Oh, good man.
So then she wouldn't notice that oh shit, that I don't want to go or annoyed or something like that.
Okay. Now, can we get back to the reading end of it? You all, obviously, in your class, it's already obvious that you all like reading. And do you ever read yourself at home to relax or whatever? Yeah?
Yeah. There's a new book, Dare the Wimpy Kid, Hard Luck, and that's coming out and I'm getting it.
It's a good man.
Yeah, and we have books in our class. We have Tom Gates and we have Billionaire Boy and Boy in the Dress, and we all read them. And at the moment, we're reading Demon Dentist. So,
come on, Dylan, you were going to say that? What was the name of the book?
Demon Dentist.
Oh my goodness, that sounds weird, doesn't it? And now, for people who are listening in, why do you think it's important? Why do you like reading? And why do you think that children should read? Now, Sean, how about you?
It's a good book and it might get them to stop doing bad things.
Very good.
And just stop doing stuff and just read.
Very good. And do you read much yourself?
Yeah, I'm reading Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Hard Luck at the moment.
Very good. And we'll go back to Lee. How about you?
I think they should read more instead, because most of my friends that I know are always playing video games and Xboxes and all.
Okay.
And I think they should read instead of playing all that, because it kind of rots their brain playing video games and all.
Very good, okay, that's good. So reading, you think, is important. And how about you, Lee? I beg your pardon, John.
Because it will help you when you're older with your, you'll know all like big words, and it will help you with your reading.
Very good. So. And do you know the when I was a small boy your age, my father used to always encourage me to read, because he said I could form pictures in my own head. Because when you read the book, isn't that right, David? When you read the book, you form this thing in yourself, and your imagination is created. Instead of just looking at a television where somebody is putting something for you, you're creating yourself. Is that right? Sorry, go ahead, Sean. You want to say something?
Sometimes you can learn stuff. Like, you can learn a lot of things from books, like where places are and all. So.
Yeah. So would you recommend this particular book or another book for him to read? So I haven't read now for a long time, say. So what book would you recommend? Sean?
Any David Walliams books or any of the Diary Wimpy Kids, because they're funny and they're real interesting.
Yeah.
And they get addictive, and like you'll just read on and on and on.
And on and on. So that's what you would recommend. So, John, how about you?
Well, there's another book called Tom Gates, and we've read that, and that's a good book to read because it's really funny.
Right.
It has a few like lines in the book, but like it's really long, but it's really funny.
It's very funny. So really what we're saying is that by reading different books, you're going to pick up an awful lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
And it'll broaden your mind, and you'll be a better, happier people. So that's very good, boys. I really appreciate you being very, very good in answering and discussing all these things. So you've been listening to Bookworms on Near FM, and you've heard Lee, John, Dylan, David and Sean, and you've heard the boys reading from David Walliams' book Gangster Granny. Please listen in again next week at the same day and same time for more readings. And of course, you can podcast the programme by going to the website www.near.ie. My thanks go to the boys from St. David's Boys National School, their class teacher, Miss Cahill, the school principal, Mr. Moore, and also, of course, to Alan Weldon, Dorothy Holtkamp-Meyer, and Anise Amistoy from Near FM, who has helped us to make the programme. My name is Declan Cahill, and I'd love to hear from you. So if you want to contact the programme, all you have to do is ring Near FM on 867 1190. And remember, keep reading.
This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.